But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Radio Fox Sports Knoxville. It is Thursday. You know what that means. We are here live in studio. It is the 14th, 2021. The time is 10:02 a.m. and we are ready for another fantastic show today. Hey, hope everyone out there is doing all right today. No matter where you are, no matter where you are listening or how you are listening, we appreciate you tuning in to The Blitz today, and we are very excited that you are here. My name is Rick Butler. To my left, that is Brandon Orrick. To my right, that is Charlie Collier, and of course, back behind the booth, that is the one and only Chance Collins. Good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing today?
Doing pretty good, Rick.
Okay, good.
Feeling pretty great.
Tremendous.
On top of the world.
All right. Three for three. Around the horn. There
on
we
top
go.
Of the world, eh?
Top of the world.
I don't know.
I guess so.
It's
a big one.
So, we have a big show today. There's no really shortage of news. Yesterday was not a slow news day by any means, and it doesn't look like today has been so far either. Now, plenty to go through any aspect, but kind of starting with some of the Tennessee stuff. Tennessee does have another guy enter the transfer portal. Actually, a little bit of a continuation from a story this week. Been a little bit of back and forth with that one, huh?
Yeah. We were holding out hope that maybe it wasn't going to happen, but it happened.
Yeah. We had heard the initial report that Tennessee offensive lineman Wanya Morris had entered the transfer portal at the beginning of the week. Then we had heard that might not actually be true. And we just heard, was he in the transfer portal? Well, not yet. So we didn't know if that meant he was staying or he was going. But it looks like now it is finalized, and Wanya Morris has entered the transfer portal. But other than that, a little bit of college football news going on between the SEC and elsewhere. How does that affect Tennessee? We'll get into that coming up soon. Got to head over to the NBA as a blockbuster trade went down yesterday in the East. I got to say, I'm very happy. No more James Harden in my life. Brandon, Charlie, I'm very sorry. Now you guys have to deal with James Harden.
You were scared of James Harden?
On the Rockets, no, but on the Nets, you should be.
I'm not.
Okay.
As long as
you're acting like you were scared of him.
No, I'm just so relieved.
Why? He's terrible in the playoffs.
But the Rockets have been good. You know, I mean, clearly and obviously disappointing. They never even got to the finals once. But they're always just annoying to be around. It was annoying to see Harden get the scoring title in Houston all the time. Now, you guys got to deal with him. KD can play in the playoffs.
Brandon, are you scared of Harden on the Nets at all?
Not any more of what they already had.
As long as Kyrie's on that team, we'll be all right.
Yeah, you've already seen the level of dysfunction with Kyrie. Continuing.
Well, yeah, now the report this morning is Kyrie is pretty upset with the Nets. He has a problem with them. It's like, Kyrie, should they have a problem with you? Weren't you the one that just disappeared from the team without texting anybody?
That's why they made the trade, though, because they promised, they told Kevin Durant, hey, we'll get you a superstar. Kyrie's obviously not there, so they said, hey, okay, we'll get you James Harden instead. Kyrie's certainly not going to be consistent with this team, so we'll get you another guy who supposedly can be. I think this is a much better team. Chance, what do you think about this? You got to tell me you agree with me here.
I think both sides won. I mean, Houston, you got James Harden out of there. He didn't want to be there. He's being a detriment to your team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the kind of disruption he's caused since the offseason and now in the locker room now, there was no way you could bring him back. I mean, everybody heard the quote from DeMarcus Cousins, what John Wall said about it. I mean, you brought in a new guy that's an elite point guard trying to get back to elite status after all these years of injuries and trying to build something. And you had a decent team, Christian Woods. You had to get him out of there. And I think Harden gets what he wants. If you're the Nets, you can't be really mad. I mean, you put together a big three. I mean, I'm guessing he goes to Brooklyn. He loses the weight and actually, you know.
I hope he gets fatter.
He wants to play for them, so maybe you'll see a little bit more of a commitment and will there and want to. So, I mean, I don't think that anybody really lost. I mean, Brooklyn, they gave rid of some assets. But if you're bringing in an MVP like James Harden to pair off another MVP and Kevin Durant, and if Kyrie, you know, does get the wheels back on and he comes back and everything's fine and the marriage is okay, that's a pretty damn talented. I mean, they're the best team in the East.
I think so too. I mean, they've had a slow start to the season so far.
Just on paper, they have to be. Well, now the level of dysfunction, who knows how that carries on throughout the season? But on paper, they're the best team in the East with those three guys paired up.
I think so, too.
I mean, they were already the best team in the East before they added Harden.
But Kyrie wasn't really playing.
I would say the Celtics were up there and Sixers and the Heat.
Like, the Nets have been flirting with 500 throughout the start of the season. And yeah, I think a lot of
because
that is because
Kyrie.
Yeah, they've only had one superstar. So if you look at that going forward, I think that, you know, before the trade happened, you're like, all right, well, we know we have Kevin Durant, but we don't really know that we have Kyrie going forward. And I think now you do have a surefire second guy or a Robin to your Batman.
Well, remember when Kyrie didn't want to be Robin? I saw something funny last night. Kyrie didn't want to be Robin for LeBron, but now he is Alfred for KD and Harden. That was pretty good.
I like that.
Crazy how life works is how that ended.
That's pretty funny.
That's
a pretty good one.
I kind of like the Rockets. Future potential for this year alone with Victor Oladipo.
Yeah.
And John Wall.
Bring in Depot, John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, the way Christian Woods has been playing. Is it Christian Wood? I think it's Christian Woods.
Wood.
Is it Wood? Okay. Wood.
Yeah, you get rid of an MVP, but you can probably have a more united team going forward.
More
and,
united core.
In a lot of cases, that's better.
Oh, absolutely.
There was no way that he was going to get traded to the Sixers with Daryl Morey being there. Like, I don't think the Rockets would ever send those two guys pair them up back together. And have them go win a championship.
Yeah. I mean, I know Morey wanted him, and he wanted to go back. Uh-huh. That was one of the options, one of his, you know, places he wanted to go to. So, yeah, I think both sides won, though. I really do. I think that the Rockets really did, like as Charlie said, you get some good assets. And, I mean, I think you won that trade. You get somebody out of there who doesn't want to be there.
Did the Cavs win, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a four-team trade
that
in
is
there.
Right.
And
I
think the Pacers too, won.
Yeah.
The Pacers won.
Yeah.
A lot of winners.
Wow.
Yeah, I think everybody's – I mean, and it's not like if you're Houston or if you're the Houston Brass, you don't feel bad, like you let your fans down or anything. Or fans probably don't feel that bad because you had Harden for over 10 years or exactly at 10 seasons. And like you said, you got to the Western Conference Finals. You couldn't get there. And James Harden's just kind of been that guy. He's a diva. He wanted Dwight Howard, then he didn't want Dwight Howard. He wanted Chris Paul, then he didn't want Chris Paul. And then
that's why I'm not worried about it. Like, he's a diva, Kyrie's a diva, he's a diva. I mean, Durant is not, but
yeah.
I'm not
diva qualities.
I'm no more worried about the Nets than I was previously.
Yeah. I can see
Yeah,
that.
They're a great team. They're going to be a really tough test to get past in the playoffs, but
I mean, if I'm a Celtics fan, I'm if I'm you, I'm not worried about him because you got a good coach and you guys do well in the playoffs generally. So like, and you got a good core. So I definitely wouldn't be worried about it as to – but, dude, is that a good – did they get a good team now? Yeah, they're pretty good. But, yeah, I'm with you. I wouldn't be that worried, Brent.
It might have benefited some of us teams in the East, though, because the Nets didn't really get that much better. They were already very, very good. But the Pacers got a lot worse, and they were a half game out of first place.
Yeah.
Didn't even I didn't even see that aspect of it. So yeah, that's an interesting side of things too, as the Pacers let go of their best player overall.
Oh yeah, they'd been playing pretty decently.
Yeah, they were a half game out of first, and they knew they weren't going to get them back. So they knew that half game out of first probably wasn't going to last that long. Their max was probably like a 4 or 5 seed with Victor, and figured they'd just get some assets for him.
Yeah. Little bit of a slow period. I feel like this has been one of the first kind of downturns in sports since its comeback, right? I feel like it's been a lot of championships after major events, after huge things going on for so long. And now that we just had the college football season out of the way, we just had the playoffs the championship game this week. I do feel like things are kind of slowing down a little bit, right? Baseball will eventually start kicking back up. We obviously got the NFL playoffs ramping up too, but even that's going to come to a close here at the next month. I feel like this is a little bit of a slower time in sports right now, but that's just because it's been such a wild fall leading up to things so far. So that's just a little bit about what we have to talk about today. We also got some NFL rumors. Which prominent former college coach is headed to the NFL? We'll give you that news coming up a little bit later on. But I do want to start with a little bit of a Tennessee football conversation, a little bit of a roundtable. Not that there's much breaking news, although we do have a little bit more Tennessee football news to get into on the other side. But I just want to talk about some of the coaching staff things going on right now, and maybe even some of the rumors that are going around in other programs, and how could they be affecting Tennessee in the long term. We know that the investigation is still going on, although seemingly the hiring freeze was lifted yesterday. With the addition of Kevin Steele to the staff. That was continued today with another hiring of a coach. But that's just a little bit about where I want to start today, and then we'll obviously see what we can get into from there. Tennessee Vanderbilt playing on Saturday in hoops at Thompson Bowling Arena. That's coming up at 6 o'clock p.m., so at some point we will start to talk about the basketball team a little bit after a slow week with the postponement of the game on Tuesday. So with that being said, we'll catch a quick break right here, come back on the other side and talk a little Tennessee football. 865-546-8200. That is your number to call in today. We'd love to hear from you. We got open phone lines right now, so be sure to give us a ring, and Chance will answer you. You know, there is never a dull day over there on campus for the Tennessee football program. Tennessee announces another new hiring. Rhett Brooks, hired as the strength and conditioning coach. He is the son of former University of Tennessee defensive lineman coach Dan Brooks. How do you feel about that?
Who cares?
He worked at Central Florida last year.
Otherwise, this is just
Arkansas, Clemson, SMU.
Like, this is really what we're just going to have a big, big reunion. Is that what we're doing?
Seems so.
Just getting the band back together?
Oh, yeah.
Did you expect anything different?
I mean, I would expect us to try to win and try to put together a
Chinese democracy from Guns N' Roses, Brandon?
No. No one likes Chinese democracy. Literally the worst thing ever.
The worst thing ever?
I mean, it's pretty bad.
I don't know, man. I feel like this hire's fun. Sure. Let's let him be an assistant strength coach. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the point we're at, though. Yeah, sure. Ooh. Yeah.
Hey, you, do you want to come be an assistant strength coach? All right. Let's do it. Might as well. Can't get worse.
I mean, I don't understand. I don't know. What are we doing?
I don't know. I feel like, I mean, he has... I don't know anything about him, but his experience sounded good.
So
maybe he'll be good.
We just had a call. Where did you guys find this news at?
What news?
About the strength and conditioning.
I saw it on Houston's Twitter. Is this okay. a...
No, the caller was asking, unless maybe you just worded it wrong, said, you said assistant strength and conditioning coach?
No. Hired as strength and conditioning coach.
Okay. Well, I just misunderstood you.
Did I say assistant? Does anyone know?
He thought you said assistant and was asking, did an assistant get hired before the main guy?
Oh.
Well, we still have a head strength.
According to this.
Wait, no. It is an assistant. Yes, okay. That is true.
He is an assistant.
We have AJ Ortiz.
Yeah, AJ Artis, or however you say his name.
Okay, there you go. So Rhett Brooks has been hired as an assistant strength and conditioning coach at Tennessee. Maybe I said it right. Maybe I didn't. I don't know.
Yeah, because we just lost that Jordo guy to South Carolina yesterday.
Yes, that's right.
And Rhett Brooks replaces Mike Farrell. Is what I'm finding out too.
Yeah.
So was this hiring freeze just a lie created by ESPN?
No, created by the university.
But I'm saying, like, I don't know. It was just a random ESPN reporter.
So the fans would shut up.
It was like one random ESPN reporter that reported it. There was no one else that really corroborated on it or broke it within Knoxville media. Maybe they just were wrong.
I feel like it's just smoke and mirrors from the brass, UT, so the fans.
I mean, what are they trying to hide?
Not trying to hide. I mean, they just want people to get off their backs about Jeremy Pruitt and just don't want to talk about him getting fired anymore.
I kind of wonder if Chance is onto something there. Just, you know, because obviously it seemed like they could lift it whenever they needed it, and I wonder if they had this kind of hire in their back pocket and say, you know, we're gonna lift the freeze at some point for a bigger hire, you know, and then we'll kind of throw this in as well the next day. Or maybe later that, no, it did come out today at 9:24.
If you're trying to get people to think that Pruitt's not going to be fired, though, a hiring freeze was one of the worst things to do. Because that makes it look like, oh, shoot, this is serious. Pruitt might lose his job.
And that report was from Mark Slaybach, so I'd say he's a pretty known guy. The report about the hiring freeze.
I wasn't saying unknown. I was just saying out of the
this is what you,
outsider.
I took it as you were just like some just one ESPN guy.
Like, I was saying it was like it was an ESPN guy that's an outsider rather than, you know, the local media or anything else that corroborating on it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just what I think. I said I don't think he's going anywhere. I think that we just need to let that go. They're hiring coaches, and he's here. He's here. Just in my opinion, if he gets fired, I'll be excited just like a lot of other people. But I just don't think it's happening.
I think he's gone. I really, really think he's gone. I'd be willing to bet a lot of money he's gone.
I think he's gone at the end of 2021. But you're going to have to stick through this season.
So, you know, we can go back and forth all day on whether Pruitt's gone or not. And I feel like I go back and forth all every other day in my head, depending on what kind of news is coming out. Speaking of news coming out, we do have a report here from John Bryce over at Football Scoop. And this came out yesterday. But this is what it says. Again, according to John Bryce of Football Scoop, the Vols have two assistant coaches on expiring contracts, wideouts coach T. Martin and linebackers coach Brian Niedermeyer, which we did know already. And sources confirmed to Football Scoop, other Vols assistant coaches have spoken with additional college football programs about leaving Rocky Top to join their staffs, end quote. Hmm. So, Tennessee still could have movement on the staff going outwards, as we don't know who exactly, but it does seem like some other coaches are potentially talking to some other schools or some other staffs. And I wonder, you know, I wonder if that means, you know, this is all just reckless speculation, but I wonder if that means that they know that there is going to be, you know, widespread changes or there is going to be a head coaching change. And they're not, you know, they're not confident and they're not comfortable on a new staff would be. So maybe they're trying to get their everything in order.
Ducks in a row.
Yeah, they're ducks in a row.
David Cullop on Twitter says, ask me and Brandon. Fulmer's building the staff to take over as interim. Pulling the old Barry Alvarez. They go.
At least when Barry Alvarez does, it's just for a bowl game when their coach leaves.
Yeah. I don't think he could do that. That wouldn't fly. That would fly over about as well as this not hiring a new coach would.
Yeah, I mean, he'd just be immediately fired if he named himself an interim coach. So that, I don't feel like we have to worry about that. But
I don't know if he'd be immediately fired, but it just wouldn't go over well.
No, I think he would literally like be immediately fired. I wonder who's going to poach our coaches in South Carolina, since their poaches got.
I do wonder that too.
Their coaches got poached, and then they're going to poach our coaches.
Yeah, they've already been.
Try saying that five times fast.
Poach our coach. Coach our poach.
865-546-8200. Heading over to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. We'll get a call from Phil. Good morning, Phil. Welcome into the show today. How you doing, my man?
Much later, fabulous.
What's going on?
Hearing y'all's conversation. Interesting.
Yeah. Just a lot of things going on, I guess.
Yeah, we still got Skull Can. I guess all that matters, isn't it?
Yeah, he's still your coach.
I've heard they're interviewing him today.
No, today is supposed to be the day. If it happens, today's the day.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know if he's going to get fired today, but I've heard that he's being interviewed by the lawyers.
Yeah, well,
today.
Well, I'm saying like he's supposed to be meeting with those attorneys. You would think that today is the day.
Do you think today is the day?
Well, like just what news? If he's meeting with them and there's something to fire him up for cause or just to those attorneys make their assessment and to report back to university and A, you should fire him. B, you're in the clear. Today would have to be the day.
Maybe they're just meeting with him to get more information from him.
What information they need?
I mean, I think he's going to be here regardless.
I don't.
Really?
But I'm saying the speculation is today is the day, you know, he meets and this is the week it's going to happen. Yeah, I think he's going to be here.
We're already on Thursday, so.
Well, why would you let him hang like this and turn around and keep him and then he'll be fired next year? That don't make no damn sense.
Do we ever do anything that makes sense? We have to ask ourselves.
There is one guarantee from all of this is that whatever happens, we'll mess it up.
Well, you got Fulmer in charge. That'll be in that mess it up right there, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man.
You think Fulmer's the one making these hires? Fulmer's hiring the staff, and there's a freeze for Jeremy Pruitt to hire anybody. Kind of cool, you know?
Hold on one second. There was a tweet from it was Doug Matthews yesterday. He was on
104.5.
Yeah.
Day 180 on 104.5.
Yeah, what did he say?
He
that
said
Pruitt made the hire.
Pruitt made the hire. Yeah, he said, let me repeat myself.
Yeah. Yeah, he said Pruitt made the hire.
We told
but
you
I
that
don't
on
believe,
the blitz
before. I don't believe him for a second.
He said, let me repeat this slowly.
Well, has he ever repeated anything not slowly?
Where's Derek Ansley? What's happening to him? Well, he's a defense coordinator. What's going on here?
Well, maybe he's one of these guys that are talking to other programs right now. We have no idea.
Well, Derek Ansley probably could get a job in the pros because that's where he came from.
Right. He came from Oakland, did he not?
Yeah, so I guess he wishes he'd never come here.
It was David Ubbin, who had seen that from yesterday, I believe, who had said that he had confirmed that the hire was made by Pruitt, or at least just via tweets.
Man, that's nice to know. You know, it really makes you feel good, though. Well, who signed off on it? Fulmer and Plowman?
Yes.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, that was it.
It's a dog and pony show, guys. That's all it is.
Yeah, on January 12th, Ubbin tweeted out, Jeremy Pruitt made this hire and still plans on being a defensive position coach. So again, that still lines up with what we've been thinking about, A, the investigation with potentially a guy like Niedermeyer, who seems like he could be a fall guy, or one of these other coaches who could get poached from another SEC team or just another team in general.
Well, I did hear, one of W's callers or W or his fabulous crew of Bear Bryant and Trey. Well, somebody said yesterday that he's brought in here, and he'll be the interim coach. That's probably the reason he's brought in here.
That's what I think. I think if Pruitt gets fired, I think he's going to be named your interim.
Seems like it.
Hmm. Well, is Tennessee going to play Vanderbilt Saturday, or is that still up in the air? What's going on that?
As far as I know, they're still scheduled to play Vanderbilt on Saturday.
And I believe that is still the case. Now, obviously, they can make anything happen at any time, but they are still trying to play this game in Knoxville, hoping to keep their players away enough to where they can travel and be good enough to come here.
Well, Vanderbilt was supposed to have a test yesterday, so what happened to the test? Anybody know?
I've not heard anything, so I'm assuming no news is good news.
And then they get tested 3 times a week. I heard that's what Rick Barnes said. They get tested 3 times a week.
Yes, they do. Tennessee does.
I would say Vanderbilt gets tested 3 times a week also, wouldn't you?
I would imagine that that's part of the guidelines, and especially if they do have kind of an outbreak going on that, you know, that even caused a postponement, I'd imagine, you know, their guidelines are ramped up a little bit right now until they get everything back under control to where the whole team can travel.
If y'all, we sit here and talk about how great Alabama is in basketball. Have y'all watched LSU in the last couple of games?
They look pretty good.
They're hot. Dogged last night, didn't they?
No, they beat the crap out of Arkansas.
Oh, yeah, I saw the score backwards. Yeah, no, they look good. Their offense is crazy.
Arkansas. They almost put triple digits up on Arkansas.
Yeah, and you've seen what a point guard will do to Auburn. Auburn now looks like a top 20 ball team.
Point guard's the most important position in college basketball. I think there's no question about it.
I'm hoping that Kenny Chandler will be that kind of point guard next year with our other guards, and they'll make that thing really look good. But we still... It baffles me that they can't recruit a legitimate post player that can defend the rim. Don't make no sense.
Yeah, because, look, you're going to need one. Even though, you know, the SEC doesn't necessarily have many teams in the top 25 right now, like, you still have quality teams who are on the rise in the SEC with quality coaches who are also on the rise. I think the SEC is only getting better and better, and you're seeing that step up. So Tennessee being at the top of that is going to have to continue to raise their game as well. You see these teams like Alabama and LSU kind of coming from the bottom, or in Arkansas, and you got to be able to advance and match up with them well.
Well, it's good to hear Big Josh start to call y'all again. I hope he calls again today. I enjoy hearing his banner from up there in the Tri-Cities. See you.
Yeah, we certainly do too. No doubt about it. We love everybody who calls 865-546-8200. That is your number, as always. All right, we'll take a quick break here. Jump back on the other side and see what we can get into. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. Back here on The Blitz, you got the full gang in studio. Myself, Brandon, Charlie, and Chance. We'll head back over to the G3 Help Me Hotlines and get a call from Big Josh. Hey, you speak his name, you ask, and you shall receive.
It's like a genie.
Big Josh, welcome in back to the show.
It's like a Joshy in a bottle.
We love to have you here. How you doing, my man?
Let me out.
Uh-oh.
What's up, Josh?
There we go. He's
Hey, I wouldn't fit in no bottle, Chance.
We'll make it work. We'll make it work. Country boy can't survive, is what they say.
I've made a few bottles disappear in my day, though.
I
thought John Curry was a bad athletic director. But,
yeah.
All right, Josh.
What the hell is Fulmer doing?
All right, Josh, I want you to rank these names that I'm about to give you. Mike Hamilton, Dave Hart, John Curry, and Philip Fulmer. Did I miss one?
All walk into a bar.
that's pretty bad list, Brandon. I don't know, man. I'd probably put Dave Hart.
I know. I would, too. I think I'd take Dave Hart.
Yeah, Fulmer needs to go. I don't know what's going on over there, but it's clear he don't know what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, I don't know what the priority list and things you are handling is. I don't know why, if the hiring freeze could go away at any moment, at just whenever you needed it to, I don't know why we haven't hired an offensive line coach in over 2 weeks. Like, there are some crazy things going on that just aren't making a lot of sense, aren't adding up.
We ain't hired no offensive line coach because they're trying to fire the head coach. And I guess they're too stupid to do it. I don't get it.
We're hiring other coaches, though.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. It's like, damn, I told Russell yesterday, it's like Yogi Berra, man. They do something, you just stand around scratching your head. Like, what the hell? It don't make no sense.
It doesn't.
I think we're to
see. Hey, Chance, did you watch Auburn last night? Speaking of Phillies, Kyle.
I did not.
Did you watch that game?
I did not get a chance to watch that game.
That Cooper kid, man, he is, I'd say he's the most talented
Their
freshman
point guard?
In the league.
Really?
He can play, man. He's sloppy. He makes mistakes, but he had at least 10 plays last night.
Sharif,
he could probably put on
Sharif
Sports
Cooper.
Center.
He was nuts. He was nuts. He was fun to watch, but I hated seeing it.
Yeah, his debut.
I'll say this. When they get that other kid, freshman back, Powell, when they got Cooper and Powell and that Thor, those three freshmen on the floor, I think they could beat anybody in the league. I think they could beat Alabama.
Now, was this Cooper kid, was he involved in, like, their investigation? Did he have to sit out, or was he hurt?
He didn't get eligible till
okay, that's what I thought.
Saturday.
I knew that they had somebody there waiting. So he had 26.
He had 26 in the first game,
and he had 28 and 12 and 5 last night.
Yeah, he was 5 rebounds away from a triple-double.
That was his second game.
Yeah.
Second game.
He can play.
And
if they get those three to stay, and he adds Jabari Smith to that lineup, I don't know, man. I wouldn't want to face Auburn next year if they got that. It's going to be hard. Bruce, I don't know if he's still going to be there, but he's going to have a hell of a team. I don't know.
They terrify me.
It's unfortunate you couldn't get them out of the way early, you know, like you did in Alabama or something, even though, you know, we lost Alabama. Maybe in Missouri.
It'd be better to play
maybe
Alabama
Missouri's
now, actually, that they got some guys hurt.
Yeah.
We could just swap those.
Yeah,
you think that's the future of college basketball, Chance? What Oates is doing? Analytics stuff?
Well, I think this has been the future of basketball for quite a few years. But he did that. Where was he at previous? He's always
Buffalo.
Buffalo. He's always filled with teams that shoot a lot of threes. He goes after, you know, those type of shooters.
Just,
it's like a Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah, they shoot no mid-range game at all.
It's three-point.
You're either at the rim,
it's three-pointers,
the three-throw line, or the three-point shot.
Yeah, I was going to say it's the same D'Antoni offense,
you know,
in the NBA. It's three-pointers, layups, free throws. You don't shoot anything in the mid-range.
I listened to an interview one time with Rick Carlisle, and he's a very intelligent basketball coach, and he was saying the same thing. You know, even in the NBA, they're telling their guys, you know, look for the high percentages, and if it's going to be a lower percentage, make sure it's at least for more points.
Yeah.
Right? It's either by the rim or we're funneling it outwards. To the three-point line.
Take it to the hoop.
The mid-range shot is theoretically dumb.
Well, it's
and
it's,
all five on Alabama, they can all five shoot the three. Every
no,
one
they
of.
Can. They can. Well, it's just one of those things, like,
to an extent.
Well, you're saying, it's just the way the game has changed. I still like a team that shoots a lot of mid-range. I always say shoot whatever shot you can hit. But, yeah, that's where basketball is right now. It's, you know, take the three, take it to the hoop, draw a foul, and get to the free throw line for some free throws, obviously free points, or only open layups and dunks.
Right. I'm wondering how that's going to match up with the, like, Big Ten teams when you get tournament time, you know what I'm saying? Because they all got those monsters inside. I mean, about every team in the league, in the Big Ten, has those 7-foot guys that they're just monsters. They can't play that way.
The Big Ten,
that's five out.
About every team over there is pretty darn good, too.
I don't know, man. Hopefully they blow this damn clown out today. I'm about sick. They wore me out on a coaching search, and we ain't even started yet. So I don't know, man. We need to get this bozo out of here. Fulmer, too. He needs to go.
I know.
Y'all hang in there. See you guys.
Thank you for the call. As always, we'll always throw you to the top of the list. It feels like we have coaching search fatigue, right? It feels like we've been doing this for a couple weeks now. And as Josh just mentioned, it hasn't even started. So strap in. We are here for the long haul.
It's more entertaining than anything we've done on a football field since we beat Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
We had a season opener win.
That wasn't entertaining.
That was just stressful.
Who did we beat?
South Carolina. Because they muffed the punt.
Yeah, and then it was
Thank
Missouri.
God.
The teams we beat?
Yeah.
A team that fired their coach, a first-year coach who hadn't found his quarterback yet, and maybe the worst team in the SEC ever. Things are going well.
Something going wrong.
someone's on the phone. 3 o'clock in the morning.
All right, gentlemen, here we go back here on the Blitz, 10:46 a.m. as we are making our way through the show today. Final segment of the first hour. As always, phone line still open at 65546-8200. Two fun calls there with Phil and Josh, and you could be next. Just go ahead and give us a call. All right, so looking through some of the topics that we still have left to go over today, one of the big things that is happening kind of as we speak, and Brandon made a reference to this earlier, but here's a tweet from Adam Schefter as of just about 40 minutes ago. He says, source, Urban Meyer's deal with Jacksonville is close, not yet done, but is, quote, trending that way. The two sides are meeting again today. The agreement could be done as early as today, but as of now, there is not one and no press conference planned yet. He's sure to add yet to the end. So Urban Meyer looks like, as everything's going right now, he will be the next coach of Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Please, Lord, let this go through. I don't get why all these people think that Urban Meyer is going to make a great NFL coach.
Because he's a pretty good college coach.
I don't get why an NFL team would want Urban Meyer. Everything that makes him one of the best college football coaches of all time aren't really things that help him in the NFL. I mean, there are some college coaches that absolutely can make the jump, but Urban's strengths, which are great strengths, are not really suited for the NFL. They're perfectly suited for college football. I mean, recruiting, great. Getting college kids motivated, great. That doesn't help you in the NFL. Furthermore, he's a control freak. He's great at getting the good talent in there, being able to control everything, and then just motivating them to play up to their potential.
Are there not a lot of NFL coaches who are control freaks who need to be?
Like control freak, like having hands in every single aspect of every little thing about your program.
All right.
And that doesn't translate either. Not to mention, he does not take losing well at all. And you're going to lose in the NFL. And he's going to just crumble when he starts losing.
All right.
Unless he was a GM, it wouldn't work.
Let me play the other side. I think that if you are a control freak, maybe one of the best places to go is Jacksonville. You got a guy like Shad Khan over there. I don't think he's not the most kind of demanding control of different aspects. So maybe that is a good place for him. But to me, the key to this whole thing and the key to what happens in Jacksonville with him is I do think that he obviously goes with Trevor Lawrence. I think that's the whole thing. That is the reason that he's going to be the Jaguars coach. I think that's the reason that he's going to go to a place like Jacksonville, and that's the reason that he's going to the NFL right now because of Trevor Lawrence. I think that hopefully what he's thinking in his head is, you know, hey, I can be in with this young quarterback that I believe has the talent to carry us forward. I believe that, you know, because I still think that's his wheelhouse. That's a young player. That's a moldable player still. I think that's in his wheelhouse, and I think that, you know, you can gain the respect, hopefully, that he's trying to do. You gain the respect of the guys in the locker room. No, maybe by not the recruiting area, but hopefully he can bring in the knowledge. I think this is a really interesting hire simply because of the Trevor Lawrence news.
I just saw a tweet. Urban Meyer hasn't coached a team with this low a payroll since Utah.
I mean, he just...
That's pretty funny.
Since Utah, really, he has not been...
That's funny.
A program builder. He has not been a master coach, a master X's and O's guy, a master crafter of game plans. He hasn't really developed players all that well because he hasn't had to. He's just gotten the best players and then gotten them to perform at the level of expectation for those best players, which subsequently makes you better than all the teams that did not get players as good as them.
I'm interested to see how it goes. I mean, I think he could. I could see him being successful, but I'm kind of with Charlie. I mean, I think it could.
So
blow up.
I think it's a high risk, high reward situation. I think it's high risk because, okay, like Charlie's absolutely saying, no NFL experience. You do believe that the strengths of his in college were things that don't translate over to the NFL, like things in recruiting or motivating. So there's your high risk, but I do think it's a high reward situation again, simply because Trevor Lawrence is going to be on that team with the number one draft pick. I think that, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars could have made a lot of other hires. But look, man, it's the Jags. who are in the perpetual just pits of mediocrity, of worse than mediocrity. You think they're just going to go hire like a just a guy? No, because that means Jacksonville's still going to be boring, stupid Jacksonville. They got to make some kind of splash hire. I really believe that. Nobody cares about the Jaguars. Nobody even cares to make fun of them anymore, really. I mean, you guys are in the AFC South, so you know you guys can poke fun at them all the time. But, I mean, the rest of us, like, no one cares. No one. Like, the Jets are the new worst team in the NFL. So I think they had to make some kind of splash hire. And if you want to do that, then maybe it's best to go high risk, high reward. Chance, any thoughts on
I think
Meyer and the Jags?
I think he can work out.
Yeah.
I don't feel like Brennan and Charlie do. I just think that he's won at the college level and been a champion. And there's something to be said about, you know, coaches just who can coach. I mean, sure, like, he hasn't built anything since Bollinger or Utah, but I mean, he's still consistency. He's been a consistent winner. I mean, this first year with Ohio State, they were under the sanctions. They went undefeated, and then was like 2 years later, they came back and won a title. The amount of titles, two titles at Florida. I just think people who always win have a potency and tendency to find a way. Like, I think that he's a winner. Now, it's going to be tough. Cause
I mean, what about Steve Spurrier?
I mean, yeah, he didn't last in college, and neither did Nick Saban. But I want to see if it works, too. I think that he can win. You get Trevor Lawrence, he's supposed to be that guy that can, transform a franchise.
Yeah, again, I think this makes you higher. This makes you more excited than a lot of other.
There's so many bad,
could be.
We always do that with the coaches from college, but there's so many, like, Bill Belichick sucked in his first coaching stint. Now he's regarded as one of the greatest coaches ever. There's so many coaches we could pick and choose that had bad records or bad stops at certain places, whether it be making a jump from the college game to the NFL or the NFL to the college game, and it just didn't work out. Jim Harbaugh, he went to a Super Bowl.
What about this?
It's not working out in Michigan right now.
I think that Saban would still be in the NFL had he not traded away Drew Brees.
If they would have gotten Drew Brees, maybe so. That's the one question that we've all wondered. If he had gotten Drew Brees like he wanted to in Miami, and they didn't get him because of that injured the little physical that he didn't pass. Who knows? Maybe Alabama wouldn't be where they are today. That really could have happened.
What a great hypothetical right there in just sports history.
Oh, yeah.
Like, think about the domino effect that
about
one
how
moment
it would have
could
transcended
change.
College football.
It would have changed college football, the history of college football.
Maybe the SEC.
It would have changed the – I mean, look at the legacy of Drew Brees. Yeah. And everything that he has done, and then that kind of goes into just the state of Louisiana and so
the national championship. I mean, not national championship, but the Super Bowl win after Katrina.
Yeah, like, the natural disasters, and then, you know, think about like where that even affects Peyton. They beat Peyton in a Super Bowl. What if Peyton has another ring? What if he's got three? Wow.
No, but yeah, it's
a big moment in history.
It's gonna be tough for Meyer. He'll be back in the spotlight though, and you got a rookie quarterback coming in that's supposed to change the game. So I feel like if you're Urban Meyer, you got to take it too, though. Like, NFL money, a lot better than college money. And the fact that you're going to get, what you'd say, like at least like three or four years to turn it around, because
NFL money is not really better than college money.
Okay, Charlie.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
most of the time it is.
He got offered $12 million a year by
Texas.
For Texas
boosters. They're bigger. They're outside the box. Like, when we talk about the Texas, how much money they have. But generally, is NFL money not most of the time better than the college pay?
Not. I mean, not Power 5 college pay. Not really.
Okay.
But the Jags are also going to have the worst facilities that he's had since Utah.
Oh, that maybe so.
Hey, I think
he's going to be an interesting football season.
I think he's looking at one thing, and I think that he sees number 16, who went to Clemson. And I think he probably sees
you gotta take potential that, right?
At one of the greatest quarterbacks who could ever play the game. I think that's what he sees. All right, we are starting to wrap up hour number one here. We got plenty of things coming up for you in hour number two. We'll check back in with a little bit of Tennessee news as we start to talk about maybe what needs to happen on the offensive side of the ball. So many defensive things has happened, but what about the offensive side of the ball as well? We'll talk a little bit about some Tennessee football recruiting news. and information, talk a little bit about the basketball team. But this conversation, or even that question a second ago about Saban, kind of makes me, it popped a hypothetical question in my head that I'll ask you guys now. I might even tweet it out, and we might even talk about it a little bit later. But here's my question for you to ponder. Which moment in Tennessee sports history, if you could reverse, so a play or a decision, maybe not a decision because, no, let's say decision. A play or a decision that you could just reverse in Tennessee football history, like with that Saban Breeze question. Now, you still got to finish out, if it's a play, you still got to finish out the game. You can't necessarily change the outcome of a game unless it was a game winner, but what would it be if you could change a play or a moment or a decision in Tennessee sports history? What would it be? We'll ask that question on this side of the break. We'll tweet it out too. Think about it. This is Blitz.